This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, in for John Hockenberry, broadcasting to at least some of you over AM radio.
Miss Oldest Regret, she's unable to lunch today.
Ah, the golden days of radio, when big bands and world-ending dramas ruled the airwaves.
Wait a minute, something's happening. There's a jet of flame springing from the mirror, and it leaps right at the advancing men. It strikes them head-on. Lord, they're turning into flames. Now the whole field's caught up by the woods of fires. They're spreading everywhere. It's coming this way now, about 20 yards to my right.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast from Grover's Mill.
The War of the Worlds changed the way entertainment was perceived by a new phenomenon, millions of listeners. And you didn't need a 70-inch HD TV or Dre Beats headphones to take it all in. No, you only needed to turn the dial. In the days before the FM frequency, and of course television and internet and smartphones, the AM frequency was the go-to spot for news.
Just to bring you up to date on the news of Europe, if you're just turning on your radios, Great Britain is now at war with Germany. Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain announced this fact in a broadcast at 6:15 New York time, 6:15 Eastern Daylight Time. A brief broadcast of about 5 minutes duration, which was carried over the CBS network.
It's where America listened to live sports.
Two strikes, ball one. Here comes the pitch. Strike three. A no-hitter, a perfect game for John Larson. Yogi Berra runs out there. He leaps on Larson, and he's slammed by his teammates. Listen to this crowd roar.
It's where you went to hear the President of the United States.
My friends, I want to talk for a few minutes with the people of the United States about banking. I recognize that the many proclamations from state capitals and from Washington, couched for the most part in banking and legal terms, ought to be explained for the benefit of the average citizen.
And of course, all that music.
In New York City, we entertain you. So plan your weekend with music and us.
As of late 1978, half of all radio listeners tuned into the AM dial. And some of you remember listening to AM way back in the day.
Hi, this is Jen in Philo. My fondest AM radio memory is waking up for years weekdays at 6 a.m. to...
And we're getting lots of your stories and memories of AM radio.
Hi, this is Susan. I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale. You really sparked some memories. The best ones are for KDKA Pittsburgh when I was growing up in the 50s.
1020 KDKA Pittsburgh.
There was Reg Kordick and his cast of crazies in the morning in the kitchen while we were getting ready for school. And of course, you know, you're praying for those magic words, due to the snow, the following schools will be closed today.
This is Mike in Pflugerville, Texas. When I worked the graveyard shift, I discovered Art Bell Coast to Coast AM. It was a fascinating show where people could discuss the paranormal and conspiracy theories and fringe science in a serious way at 3 a.m.
I grew up listening to AM. It's what got me interested in radio in the first place. Jim Bohannon, Rush Limbaugh, my Philadelphia Flyers. I could listen to any station from across America, from the West Coast to Minnesota. Well, we're talking more about AM radio next. And if you're listening to us on an AM radio right now, send us a photo of the set or device you use for AM radio in 2013. You can post that to our Facebook page at facebook.com/thetakeaway. Well, we're taking some time to celebrate the golden days of AM radio, what was once a main source of communication and entertainment all across this country. In the 21st century, with FM radio and the internet and smartphones, AM listenership has fallen to just 15% of total radio listeners. That's an average of 3.1 million people. That's according to a survey by Verona Sewler Stevenson. In the 70s, over 60% of all listeners. So where's the love gone? Stolen by those fancier electronics? Heck, do you even own an AM radio anymore? Who's going to fight for AM radio? That's my question. Who will stand at the precipice and support a pillar of our broadcast world? How about the lone Republican on the FCC? Ajit Pai, a commissioner at the Federal Communication Commission, who hopes to turn this trend around. Hi, Ajit.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on, or should I say, Mr. Commissioner? You know, I don't know that I've had any more fun than hearing the control room here at The Takeaway put my voice there in that essay into mono, non-stereo AM sound. It's great.
There's something about that sound, isn't it? It just brings back nostalgic feelings for everybody, from kids who listen to baseball games at night to truckers who used to drive across the country. There's something for everybody in AM radio.
What's your favorite nostalgic memory of AM? You're a child of the 70s, I guess.
I am. So I still remember my freshman year in 1987 of high school. My mom wouldn't let me go to the state high school basketball championship game. So I went to my room, tuned in to KLKC 1540 AM, and listened to the game there. And I mean, at the time, I was a little bit aggrieved, as you might imagine, but now I have such fond memories of it, and it's all because of AM radio.
Okay, so much for nostalgia. In the present day, you're on the Federal Communications Commission. What's happening in terms of bandwidth, in terms of the public airwaves that's pushing AM out? I understand that the signal is tinny. It doesn't sound modern. What's happening sort of in the regulatory world that's making it a tough road for AM?
Well, I think you put your finger on the basic problem, which is that because of interference from a variety of sources, it's very difficult to get a quality AM signal anymore. That could be because of everything from all the appliances that you have in your home to the power lines that are above when you're driving. And so one of the goals that I've had at the FCC is to try to examine whether or not there are things that we can do to improve the band. It's been 22 years since we comprehensively reviewed our AM radio rules, and as I scoured into the rule books, what I found was that a lot of the regulations we have on the books inadvertently have kept AM back. And so I hope to convince my colleagues to tweak those rules so we can have AM radio thrive once again.
Now, a cynical person or somebody who understands politics might just say, all right, that's great. I love AM radio too, but you're an FCC commissioner and you're just trying to keep some of your regulatory territory here so it doesn't die out.
No, quite to the contrary, actually. I want us to remove some of those regulations so that we can let all these AM broadcasters, whether they are in urban areas or rural areas, whether they're in Alaska or Florida, whether they are minority owners. AM radio was historically a gateway for minority ownership. We want to let all of the AM broadcasters thrive without the worry of regulation standing in the way.
And is this just a question of allowing them to boost their signals so they're more powerful? What does it really mean?
So there are a number of different proposals on the table. One is for an increase in the power. One is also to convert all the analog stations over to digital. One is to allow them to broadcast over on the FM side through the use of what's called a translator. There are a number of different solutions on the table, and I don't take a definitive position on which one the FCC should adopt. I think we should tee them all up and see what all the broadcasters, the engineers, the technologists, what they think is the best way to go, and then take the appropriate action.
All right. Well, before we let you go, Ajit Pai, you have nostalgia for AM. I have nostalgia for AM. Our control room definitely has nostalgia for AM. But nostalgia can be dangerous. We don't want to live in the past. The market rules. What's really wrong with letting AM die if we've moved on technologically?
Well, believe me, I am a firm believer in the fact that the market rules, and that's precisely why I want to allow AM to have a fair shot at competing for listenership. There still continues to be a place for broadcasting and for AM radio in particular. The question is, how do people want to get information? And if AM radio broadcasters are able to provide information that people want, I'm pretty convinced that the market, along with advertisers, will shift their way. And so, again, once we get rid of some of those rules, AM radio may have a fair shot. And if they don't if they don't succeed on their own merits, then that's great. But hopefully the rules don't prevent them from doing that.
Ajit Pai, the lone Republican on the Federal Communications Commission supporting AM radio at the FCC. Mr. Pai, thank you.
Thanks again for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.